Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which was read earlier, but I'll read the verses that lead up to it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, Paul goes on then with the reading that we heard, and which begins, "All things are lawful for me." That was a slogan, it seems, of the Corinthians. All things are lawful, all things are permissible for me. And then Paul corrects it and says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me. And then Paul corrects that and says, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, etc. Now, what Paul's concerned about in the reading for today is the practice of visiting prostitutes. That's his particular concern there. The Corinthians were new to the Christian faith. They'd been pagans until recently, and Corinth being a harbour town, there were many prostitutes there too. In fact, there were three temples in honour of the goddess Aphrodite, whom the Romans called Venus. Three temples, and there were prostitutes attached to those temples for people to visit. So some of the Corinthians, being new Christians, they were still learning to leave behind their old habits from the past. But I'm not going to focus on that section, but in the verses that lead up to it that I just read. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, this morning's reading, and particularly the verses I just read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, could be rated M for a mature audience. I don't mean M as that rating is used in our movie theatres, often to characterise a film that's far from everything that's holy and edifying. No, I mean it in Paul's own sense, spiritual food for mature Christians, rather than milk for babies in the faith. Earlier in this letter, Paul rebukes the Corinthians for being infants in Christ, not ready for solid food. Despite this, he gives them solid teaching designed for grown-ups, like this morning's epistle. Our theme comes from the last verses in chapter 1. God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God has made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So I'm going to be saying a lot about boasting. We Aussies can be boastful, can't we? Especially when we win some sporting event. The first slide, the next slide. Yes, here's our Prime Minister at the time, 1983, Bob Hawke, celebrating Australia's victory in the America's Cup yacht race. Christine and I at that time had just returned from 2 years in America where I'd been studying. And we arrive in Sydney. Well, the Americans, let me say something about them first. the Americans are known for a certain degree of boasting. We have the best health education in the world. We have the best education system in the world. We even have the best air safety record. And here we are thinking of Qantas, who's never lost a passenger. But anyway, we arrive back in Sydney after a couple of years away, and here we got a very clear reminder that Aussies are pretty good at boasting too. And that's how we are. Now, in Paul's day, the people of Corinth, the capital of Greece, Corinth was the capital in Greece, which was called Achaia at that time, they had the reputation of being one of the most boastful cities in the Roman Empire. Just as the people of the island of Crete in the Mediterranean were known for being liars, and one of their poets said, and Paul quotes this in his letter to Titus, "Cretans are always liars." So the Corinthians were known for their pride and their inflated opinion of themselves. So we find that out of, and we'll take the next slide now, we find that out of 59 words for boasting in the New Testament, 59 words in the whole New Testament, 39 of them are in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They had a particular problem. And out of 8 words, we'll take the next slide now, thanks. Out of 8 words that mean being puffed up or arrogant, 7 of them are in these 2 letters to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were known for their arrogance, for being puffed up. And the next slide too, the Greek word to be puffed up is related to the word for a bellows, a phussa. So the Corinthians were like a lot of bellows. They were windbags. And it's not surprising that if the whole city was known for its boastfulness, this had also infected this young church in Corinth. Paul calls them to account for their egotism in forming personality cults, first of all, putting one apostle or pastor on a pedestal at the expense of other church servants. Chapter 1, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, that's Simon Peter, I belong to Christ. And so they were divided into 4 factions, each of them boasting about their own favourite pastor or favourite apostle and putting all the others down. And Paul's concerns about this occupy the first 4 chapters. And then in chapter 5, he takes them to task for not disciplining a man who was having an affair with his stepmother, his father's wife. And they were puffed up about this. They were proud of being so tolerant and inclusive, such nice people, as some Christians boast in our day. Back in October, 2 Catholic authors came out with a book entitled God is Not Nice. God is Not Nice, and the subtitle, Rejecting Pop Culture and Discovering the God Worth Living For. And we'll see the slide for that now. Yeah, that's the title of that book. I haven't read the book, but I like the title, God is Not Nice. And the book reintroduces, as it says about itself in the introduction, the book reintroduces Christians to the true God, not the polite, easygoing divine therapist who doesn't ask much of us, but the Almighty God who is awe-inspiring and demands our entire lives. So while I haven't read the book, I like the title, reminding us that God the Father is the Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth and still sustains everything and everyone. Without him, we couldn't take another breath. And his Son, and he searches and knows the hearts of every one of us, as we were singing in Psalm 139. And his Son, our Lord Jesus, is the powerful Son of Man, the heavenly person who will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. As he says to Nathanael in our gospel reading, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the Son of Man, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And as people led by the Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves with the Spirit's help to live as in God's presence and to strive daily to lead a holy life, even as Christ has made us holy. So we can't honour our God, according to St. Paul, we can't honour our God by saying or singing holy, 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 while we play with fire by falling into a wicked lifestyle. As Paul writes to the Romans, God's baptised people won't let sin be our king. We won't let any sin dominate us, but we'll keep fighting against it every day with the Holy Spirit's help. As Martin Luther says somewhere, every day the Christian takes their broom and sweeps sin out of the door as the dust keeps accumulating. Now, Paul's words in the lead-up to our epistle for this morning sound most offensive in our day and culture. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Unfortunately, you won't find this in any of the internationally published readings for the Sundays of the church year. And that's one deficit, if you like, in the three-year international lectionary, that there's very little about God's judgment, God as the judge. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers. And that reminds me of the cyberbullying that's going on. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But, the word but occurs three times. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is saying, play with fire and you'll be burned. Now we know that we are all constantly tempted by all kinds of sins. As Luther says in the Catechism, we daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. And Luther also wrote about temptations, these daily temptations. We can't stop the birds flying over our heads, but we can stop them building their nests in our hair. I like that. We can't stop the birds flying over our heads, but we can stop them building their nests in our hair. If we habitually indulge in these practices that are on Paul's list and don't repent, don't struggle against them, we won't go to heaven. It's that simple. Now, I'd like to take two cases this morning. The first is a straightforward one, a notorious case of habitual thievery, Judas Iscariot. No thieves, like Judas, will enter God's kingdom. No habitual thieves. For 3 years, Judas walked around Judea and Galilee with Jesus. He listened to his teaching and witnessed his miracles. And now John's Gospel in chapter 12 calls him a thief, having charge of the money bag, where all the money was put, which supported Jesus and the 12 as they went from town to town. Having charge of the money bag, Judas used to help himself to what was put into it. And he did that for 3 years. And what did that all lead to? It culminated, as we know well, in his betraying his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. So that's the kind of habitual, unrepented sin that St. Paul is talking about. And now for the really controversial one these days, another example on Paul's list, men who practice homosexuality. From the beginning, as we read in Genesis 1, and as Jesus quotes in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, God made us male and female. From the beginning, God made us male and female. Throughout the Bible, beginning with the story of the Sodomites, God condemns same-sex relationships and practices. If anything in the Bible is clear, that should be clear. Yet now that our society has by and large turned its back on the Bible and the church, we have gone ahead, haven't we? And we have legalised same-sex weddings, and it's surrounded by tremendous hype, and our media is shamelessly, the ABC in particular, but SBS too, publicising these weddings, shamelessly. St. Paul would call all the hype surrounding it boasting. Boasting, being puffed up. And so we have to witness these gay pride parades, etc. Now, as with some other sins on Paul's list, there are two kinds of gays. Those who flaunt it and are in your face and are trying to push it onto others, even on children in schools, especially in Victoria. And on the other hand, there are those who struggle with their temptations and weep because of them. And I struck such a man in my last parish. Our son Michael, pastor in Queensland, has struck it in his parishes too. Men who are deeply distressed and troubled by their attraction to other men. And they weep over it. But the gay pride people don't want our pastoral care and comfort. They just want us to affirm them, don't they? We don't dare say with St. Paul that they need to repent. But for others who battle against their sin and are not puffed up with pride, Paul writes in his second letter, God comforts the downcast. And that's fundamental to pastoral care. God comforts the downcast. And that word also means the humble. God comforts the humble. And that's wonderful comfort for all of us. Yes, God is not a nice, easygoing therapist who doesn't do much good or much harm either. No, he's the almighty, awe-inspiring God who wants us to be completely dedicated to him. And at the same time, God is love. God is love. That's fundamental to his nature. He is good. We'll have the next slide. He is good and gracious and merciful to repentant sinners. He has the power to save us and transform us, as Paul goes on to say, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Don't believe the propaganda that some people are locked into a sinful lifestyle because of their genetics. No, Paul writes to the Corinthians, such were some of you. But God in his tremendous power and his amazing grace has rescued them, washed them clean in holy baptism and sanctified them, declared them his righteous people, his new creation. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Or that can also be translated, is anything too impossible? Is anything impossible for the Lord? After the last service, I was engaged in a conversation with one of our members who told me that he had worked with the public service for many years in a section of the public service where he was constantly working alongside a number of lesbians and some gay men as well. And he wondered what's one to think about such relationships? How does one relate to such people and so forth? And what I said to him was, Paul also says, and it's in this same letter to the Corinthians, those outside God will judge. Those outside the church, God will judge. We don't have to go around condemning such people. And sometimes we simply, if you're never going to associate with any of them, we'll have to leave this world, won't we? You're constantly, you only fly on a Qantas aeroplane and you're associating with the chief of Qantas who's been promoting this sort of thing too. We're in this world and we will rub shoulders with people from time to time. But in the church, Paul says, in the church we need to be clear. In the church we need to be clear. And as a pastor, it's part of my duty of care, if I could put it that way, to speak to you clearly about these things. You and I have been bought with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. Let's learn to glorify God in our bodies, in our whole lives. Learn to boast only in our Lord and sing, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. His wounds have paid my ransom. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.